inside the radio octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage, on 620 CKRM. Here's Barney Shankaruk.
Welcome, Saskatchewan, inside the Sports Cage on Thursday, April 4th. It's for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. Regina's largest selection of Yetis. Check out the new arrival. Spring hockey season's on. You can get in the end of year or start of year deals. 35 years under new ownership with Donnie Arren and his crew doing great things at Extreme Hockey and Sport. Full show today. Kellen is with me. Alan's punching the buttons. We are going to talk about the Swift Current Broncos. Double overtime last night to advance to the next round of the Western Hockey League playoffs. Connor Geeky, that overtime hero, is going to join us. SJHL report as the SJHL playoffs kick into the semifinals. Benny Walchuk's going to stop by. Keniston Superdraft is back. We're going to talk about that, as well as a massive Junior B tilt up in Saskatoon tonight between Regina Capitals and the Saskatoon Quakers. Arash Madani is down at the Final Four in Phoenix. We'll talk to him. Lance Wakefield, head superintendent of the Royal Regina Golf Course. We're going to talk about golf course conditions in southern Saskatchewan going into the season. What happened? There was rain in January. I'm curious. How did that affect the golf course? Lance is going to talk about everything golf in southern Saskatchewan, maybe even a little northern Saskatchewan. Hour three, we got Nick Schultz from Strasburg, Saskatchewan, development coach from the Philadelphia Flyers. We're going to talk about the Flyers as they try and hang on to a playoff spot. Glenn Suter joins us in the last half, and then Troy Walkington from the Saskatoon Blazers, as the whole province is getting behind the Saskatoon Blazers as they start the West Regionals, U18 AAA West Regionals, in about an hour's time against the undefeated Brandon Wheat Kings. Full show today in the Sports Cage. We are going to start, though, as we're going to go out and talk to the CEO of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Mr. Craig Reynolds, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Craig, extremely tough day yesterday for the franchise, all Rider fans. What are your words on the passing of Jim Hobson?
Yeah, you nailed it. It was an extremely sad couple of days here. I think Saskatchewan lost a first and foremost a great man, somebody who, you know, was filled with such passion for a football club, such warmth and kindness. I think, you know, we're certainly feeling at the office here today. There is a sense of sadness, but Jim's leaving behind just an incredible legacy, and we can't say enough about what he's done for the province and for this football team.
I was talking to Chris Masaryk just a little while ago, and this has been echoed on social media and yesterday on the Cage as well. You know, as a guy who coaches flag football, played it, still play men's, been around the game. You know, if you look at the last, let's say, 20 years, I don't know if football in Saskatchewan is where it is without Jim Hobson.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. You know, I'm not sure we have this incredible stadium, this beautiful stadium, the best stadium in Canada, if it wasn't for Jim. He really made this province believe in this football team, and believe this football team could be great. And he did that combined with, you know, a love of amateur football and mm-hmm. support of the community. And I think those things all go hand in hand to why football is what it is in this province today. And you see that at the amateur level with our university programs and our junior programs, and you certainly see it with, you know, one of the biggest, you know, flag programs in North America here in Regina, and I know they have a thriving flag program up in Saskatoon, and that's not even to talk about mm-hmm. the Regina Minor and Saskatoon Minor and all the minor programs throughout the province. It's just football in this province benefited from Jim's leadership.
You know, kind of on a note, maybe to smile a bit, the thing he leaves you is absolute pressure, right? Now everybody is going to be measured against what Jim Hobson did.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only going to be one Jim Hobson, and you know that. You know, I got to work with Jim for six straight years, and he is such a big personality and just a larger than life figure and just an incredible leader. But he changed the culture here, and he changed the expectations, and I think that's a really, really good thing. And I think, you know, every day, you know, I know since I took this job, and every day going forward, I want to make Jim proud. You know, got the opportunity to work and learn from Jim, and took a ton away from Jim and learned a ton, and view him as just an incredible mentor. But I also know that he believed in me as he believed in everybody else in the organization, and so I want to make him proud. And And I'm really happy he changed expectations in this province. You know, the expectations for this franchise to be great on and off the field, and we try to do that every day.
You could probably write a long essay on it, but you know, is there one thing that's kind of etched in your mind that you'll go back to and maybe smile an instance or a story, something that happened with Jim over the years?
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, the things I'll cherish are just, you know, him coming into my office and just us just chatting, whether it was about the state of the team or something going on with the team or just about life. Like, I just, those are the things over the last few days that I've just been reflecting on. It's just the time spent with him. You know, those moments when we were working together. You know, we did a lot of benchmarking tours when we were looking at the new stadium and spending some time with him on the road. You know, those things are memories that I'll cherish. There's obviously a lot of, you know, humorous moments and funny moments. Jim had a great sense of humor, and so I reflect often on those. And then one of the things, you know, more recently is when we, you know, were able to honor Jim at the auditorium, at our football auditorium, and rename it the Jim Hobson Auditorium. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, being able to do that with Jim present, and being able to sort of, you know, stand up there and say, you know, how much he meant to me personally and how much he meant to our club, to just say that in front of his friends and his family, you know, those are moments I'll remember forever.
Yeah, and kudos to you guys, right? Because so many teams are not even just sports. Everything's done after, and you guys got a chance to honor him while he was still there. And Jim was up front with the battle he was facing, and it reminded me a lot of, you know, when Alex Trebek came out and he's like, "Hey, you know, I know what I'm up against here," and it was a great job by you guys. The thing, another thing too, is can it be more Sasky, you know, to have, you know, a former school teacher running, you know, the biggest team in the province and the thing everyone's so passionate about, like a school teacher. And it just, that was him. Like, I only had a chance to meet him a few times, but you could just tell, right? He was like school teacher. Everyone, you know, everyone loves that school teacher. But when it was business and it was time to get down to work, it was get down to work time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he, you know, he just had a great way to communicate. He was a great communicator. I think, you know, so many teachers are great communicators, and certainly at that time that was necessary. But he had great passion, and he had just this positive spirit. That's, you know, there's so many things to take away from Jim, but just the sense of optimism, the positive spirit, the positivity he brought every single day. And, you know, even these last few years with his cancer diagnosis, he just, you know, he just did it with such grace and class and just, you know, he just had this positive spirit throughout. And those are just amazing qualities, and their qualities are great leader. And he had so many of those qualities. And, you know, I, from the first moment I met him, which was in an interview setting when I was interviewing to become the CFO, I saw, you know, a great leader sitting, you know, chatting with a great leader, and you could just sense that. And I thought to myself, this is somebody I want to work for, and somebody I want to learn from. And just was, I've just been so fortunate that I've had him as a mentor in my life.
Yeah. Those are great words. I'm sure it's been extremely difficult around there, Craig. And again, totally appreciate you hopping on here right off. And I know you couldn't make it yesterday, and giving us the kind words and your memories on Jim.
No, I appreciate you guys spending the time you did. I know you did yesterday, and talking to guys like Maz and Brendan Tamman, and just people that, you know, knew Jim so well, and I just really appreciate you guys taking the time to remember Jim. He's and the tributes that we have come in have just been outstanding, and he deserves every single one of those. And so thank you guys for doing such a great job of remembering Jim.
Right on. All right, Craig, I know you're a busy guy. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up to you again in a couple weeks.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
That is head of our Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Craig Reynolds, talking about the late Jim Hobson, who we lost yesterday, and absolute leader. If you had a chance to catch the show yesterday with Don Hewitt and everyone that he had on, man, it was the stories that went, could go on and on and on. Yeah, so thanks to Craig for joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Quick break right now. When we come back, we're getting into Western Hockey League playoff action. You're listening to The Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Nobody covers your team like our team. This is The Sports Cage on the mighty 620 CKRM.
Barney Shinkrick, welcome back inside The Sports Cage with Kellen Enslev on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. New owners, same great service for 35 years. Let's get into the Western Hockey League playoffs. And I'm going to tell you, Kellen, I think a lot of people are surprised Swift Current swept the Lethbridge Hurricanes last night in four games.
Yeah, I think early in March I saw Lethbridge playing in Moose Jaw in my minor hockey travels, and I was impressed with them that night. But obviously, Swift Current and the team that they've assembled was too much for them in this round, including coming all the way back last night from down to steal that game and sort of get a little bit of rest now as they wait on their opponent in the next round, which will likely be the Moose Jaw Warriors, but...
Yeah, exactly. All right. It was a late night for this guy. Let's go out on the Western Pizza Hotline, and he's joining us from Swifty, Connor Geeky, scoring in double overtime. You know, Connor, I've scored a lot of street hockey goals in overtime or shinny goals. Like, that's got to be pretty exciting, hammering that one home in double OT.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, me more than anyone, I think... You know, you want to score the goal. You want to be the big winner. But I'd say probably 5 minutes into the first overtime, you know, I didn't really care who scored. obviously, for our, I wanted our team to win. That's for sure. But you know, it's kind of like, you know, I was talking with a couple of the guys in the room. It's almost like a Cinderella story, right? You know, they were able to give up a lot for me, and just for me to kind of give that back and, you know, take home the sweep, it helps a lot.
No. What time did you guys end up rolling back into Swifty?
I think we got home around like 3:40. So it wasn't... I didn't get the best sleep, that's for sure. I was still amped up on adrenaline, but
absolutely,
it got the job done.
Absolutely. Let's be honest here. Probably a little surprised that you guys swept the Hurricanes, because they were no slouch.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think you know, we knew coming into it that you know, they played hard and they played a big role. Obviously, they're managed really well with their staff, but. You know, we're a good team. I think, you know, ever since the deadline, ever since I came into it, you know, we kind of knew what was to come for us. And I think just the belief in all the guys is something that you don't see too often. You know, with Winnipeg the last 2 years, you know, we have obviously had a really, really good team, an unbelievable team, I guess some guys might say, but. You know, it's a little different being kind of the underdog, and I think that brings a lot more grit and a lot more, you know, will to win. You know, you obviously want to try and take as many games as you can off people, and I think that's kind of what we did against Lethbridge.
You mentioned Winnipeg. You've been pretty well-traveled this year with Winnipeg moving out to Wenatchee, and you went over to Sweden for the World Junior Championships and then coming back to Swift Current. Obviously, having started your career in Winnipeg, being close to home, what was it like going out to the West Coast, playing Pacific Northwest U.S. Division, were you able to lean on your brother for some of his experiences of being out there?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, Wenatchee's an unbelievable place. You know, I recommend that anyone kind of heads out there. you know, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, incredible billet family, you know, that I talk to every day still. But I think it was just kind of the guys. I think we knew, you know, our teams moved. We kind of all got to come together and, you know, make this work for everyone. And, you know, before I left, I think we, you know, we were first in the U.S. division. So obviously a super, super fun kind of experience. And Wenatchee is just a beautiful city in general.
Yeah, I saw some pictures last week. Golf courses look beautiful. They're green, although the Elmwood and the Chinook aren't even open yet in Swifty, but they're probably getting close. You know, I had a chance to work in Swift. Seems like 100 years ago. Cut my teeth in the radio business there, and it's such a cool small little market. Now you're playing in the smallest market in the Western Hockey League, and you probably get that sense now, Connor, of how much this means to the town, to the area, and to the organization. They need some sold out barns here as they move on. You probably get a sense of all that, and you know, kind of what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm honestly just super glad that I could kind of be a part of this, you know, big step that they're taking. You know, you look back at 2018, how many sold out barns they had, and yeah, you know, all the fans and the city kind of rallied behind them, but for us, I think, you know, we're just taking it step by step. I think, you know, whether you have, you know, people come up to you in the city or whatnot, I think you kind of look at it and, you know, you feel appreciated. But, you know, we try and get back as much as we can in the community. But, you know, we're also playing for them too, right? Yeah. Obviously, you play for yourselves and you play for the team. But you know how this community rallies more than anyone. So when you get them on your back, you almost feel unstoppable.
And talk about a perfect setup if it happens here. You guys and Moose Jaw, those two, you know, just down the road from each other, that's going to get greasy.
Yeah, no, it will be really crazy. You know, especially playing against Sab, I think that's also kind of a Cinderella story. And you know, we've both been talking, so I think we're looking forward to kind of meeting each other, you know, in the playoffs.
Right on. Hey, I know it was a long night, and it's, like you said, the sleep wasn't great. Totally. Thank you for taking some time here today, and best of luck as you guys push forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Right on. That's Connor Geeky from the Swift Current Broncos, double overtime winner last night against the Lethbridge Hurricanes. They advance. Waiting to see if it will be the Moose Jaw Warriors. Moose Jaw's in action tonight against the Brandon Wheat Kings with a chance to wrap up that series. More Western Hockey League talk coming up throughout the show. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Nobody covers your team like our team. This is the Sports Cage on the Mighty 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. Barney Shinkrook and Kellen Enslev on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. You miss anything on this program, you can go back and listen to it in podcast form. Find it on Spotify, go to the CKRM and Sports Cage website and get it there. Still coming up in the program, we have Arash Madani down at the Final Four in Phoenix. Lance Wakefield from the Royal Regina Golf Course, talking about golf course conditions. Nick Schultz from the Philadelphia Flyers, Strasburg native, he's going to join us, talk about the Eastern Conference in the NHL. Glenn Suter and then Troy Walkington from the Saskatoon Blazers as the Blazers get ready for game one of the U18 AAA regional championships. Kellen, let's get into a little junior B hockey. I know we're going to talk that in a bit. Tonight up in Saskatoon, the Regina Capitals and the Saskatoon Quakers 1-1. You're saying you had boots on the ground for game two? No, game two at the Richie?
Yeah, game two at the Richie, Monday night. Friends of ours' son was in action for the Capitals for about 4 minutes until he broke his fibula.
Oh, no.
two games in a row for me at the Capitals. Broke his hand last year against Pilot Butte. This year broke his ankle.
Not going anymore, obviously.
No, his season is over. But
you're never going to go to a Caps game again?
I might be banned from the stadium. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That Quakers team has a lot of talent up front, for sure. The defensive corps of the Caps are super depleted right now, continuing right through tonight. Justice Mongrant is serving the third game of his suspension from a little Donnybrook in the series with Pilot Butte in the last round. Obviously, Hunter Wood, alternate captain, breaks his ankle the other night. They're just chaotic on the back end right now, and it sort of showed in the game, but they escaped with a win, and will head back to Saskatoon tonight for game three
at the La Trace. Always a nice French fry at the La Trace. Should be a great crowd taking on the Saskatoon Quakers. The other thing, SJHL playoffs, the semifinals start tonight, and game seven the other in Humboldt, they knocked off Weyburn, so now Humboldt gets Melfort, and Flin Flon hosts the Battlefords. Actually, let's go into the SJHL report right now. Let's talk to the man himself, Benny Walchuk.
It's time for the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League report on the sports stage. Pleased to be joined by the legendary voice of the Flin Flon Bombers, Rob Hart, to talk some SJHL playoff hockey here on the sports stage. First off, Rob, thanks a lot for taking some time to chat some SJHL hockey. I guess, first off, how's the playoffs been for yourself and the Flin Flon Bombers?
Well, it's my pleasure, Benny. Always good to talk hockey with you, and I guess it's gone pretty good so far. I mean, the Bombers were able to sweep the Kittersley Clippers four straight, outscored them 19-3 in the four games, and had lots of momentum. They looked good. I was kind of wondering what was going to happen down the stretch. As you know, they went 4-5-1 their last 10 and just really had a real tough time looking like the Bombers of old, but the playoffs came. They had a bit of a shaky first period in game one, but after that I thought dominated, and looking forward to the SJHL semifinal and a rematch of this past spring's league final against the Battlefords. It should be fun. Interesting, Benny, you're probably aware of this as well. This will be the Bombers and Stars' sixth meeting in the playoffs since 2016.
This matchup with Battlefords, you said, sixth time these guys meet in a matter of 8 years or so here, I guess. How do you like this matchup?
I think it's going to be great. I mean, it's going to go at least six or seven. I think that these two teams always bring the best out of each other, and it's funny. You just always have an inkling that they're going to meet somewhere, and they've met in the finals a couple times, and this will be, I think, the first time they met in the semifinals. It seems like they've either met in the first round or in the final. But should be pretty exciting. Of course, Kian Bell, maybe the most explosive. Well, he is the most explosive player in Junior A hockey. Can the Bombers find a way to stop him? Nobody else has been able to do it the last couple of years. We'll see if Flin Flon's up to the task. And of course, I'm just looking forward to seeing, two of the top offensive clubs go head to head. It should be great, entertaining hockey for the league and for all the fan bases.
What's going to be the biggest key here for the Bombers in round number two?
Well, I think shutting down Kian Bell's got to be one of the things. Plus, I think special teams are always big, and I think we really saw that in the Weyburn-Humboldt series where goals were so tough to come by. I mean, it's a 5-on-3 power play goal that decides game seven, and it was a power play goal by Weyburn that decided game six. So, you know what? The Battlefords are going to be good on the power play with all the weapons they have. The Bombers are going to have to be able to counter that and at the same time try and keep that battle for power play off the books. I think it'll come down to specialty teams. I think it'll come down to, obviously, goaltending. Harmon Laser-Hume, the SJHL Goalie of the Year. Will he be able to rise to what he's going to need to do against some very good offensive players and taking advantage of opportunities? You can't afford to not score when you get chances. You get so few of them in the playoffs. And the veteran guys, whose best players are going to show up? I think there's a lot of things that go into it. But I think especially teams' goaltending and just being opportunistic will be huge for Flin Flon.
Just last year, Rob, what's your thoughts on the other semifinal, Melfort and Humboldt? What are you expecting from there?
Jeez, that's going to be incredible hockey. I think goals are going to be tough to come by. But you got, Benjamin Motu. What a story he's been. I think he might be the best goalie in the league right now, the way that he's playing. And, of course, James Venn, no slouch for the Melfort Mustangs. I think goals are going to be really tough to come by in that. I think Trevor Blevins always plays a tight defensive style. Scott Barty's kind of picked that up. I expect tight defensive hockey, but it's a matchup that hasn't happened in a number of years between those two very close rivals. that too will be a lot of fun. Boy, should be exciting to see what happens with the Final Four.
That's the voice of the Flin Flon Bombers, Rob Hart, joining us here for the SJHL report on the Sports Gauge. Thanks a lot, Rob, for doing this. Have some great calls and enjoy the hockey there at the Whitney Forum.
Yeah, thank you very much, buddy. Always good to catch up with you, and hopefully see you again soon.
SJHL semifinals kick off tonight with the Flin Flon Bombers hosting the Battle for North Stars of the Whitney Forum. That'll get underway at 6:30 Saskatchewan time. Other semifinal will kick off the Northern Lights Palace in Melfort to the Melfort Mustangs entertain the Humboldt Broncos. For the SJHL report on the Sports Gauge, I'm Benny Walsh.
Yeah, that a boy, Benny. Oh, man, I'd like to be at the Whitney Forum up in Flin Flon this evening. Little playoff hockey.
Riggs will be buzzing on the bench up there for sure. The coach of the Flin Flon Bombers.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got to get to a game there at some point. Hey, don't know slouch, though. City of Northern Lights, right? Melfort. They got Humboldt rolling into town. SJ semifinals. Good stuff. All right. Let's go back out on the Western Pizza hotline. Western Pizza, perfect pizza. Generous amount of toppings, plus all the Greek food you love, like souvlaki ribs, salads. Call Western Pizza tonight. Our man, Luke Mullender, joining us quickly here. Luke, I know you didn't have a chance to come on yesterday. You're a guy that knew Jim Hobson really well. First off, the floor is yours, my man. What do you have to say about the late, great Jim?
Oh, man, you know what? It's been nice. I mean, there's been plenty of time since the announcement yesterday that's been transpired, and I don't think that there's too many people that need to say anything more. Some beautiful things were said yesterday. I mean, Jim was one of us, right, as a former player. I first met him, obviously, when I was still playing, and he took over the Riders, and the one thing that I loved about Jim, man, is that, you know, winning was nice, and you know, he'd celebrate with us in the locker room if we won. But if we lost, man, and we walked in that locker room, you know, we would see Jim, and man, he would look so disappointed. But you know, he wasn't disappointed because he was the CEO or he was the guy who's signing the checks. He was disappointed because he knew what we had gone through all practice week. He knew what it takes to play in a game and play at a high level at the pro level. And man, he wore his emotions with us, man, because he was one of us. And you know, I'm glad that he's been celebrated over the last day or so. I know the Riders did a live thing today at 9 a.m. with the current president, Craig Reynolds. But again, it's one of those deals where he's legendary. There wouldn't be a Mosaic Stadium standing if it wasn't for Jim Hobson. This is the same guy we're talking about, and I'm really glad that I was part of this era. When you think about 2006 all throughout probably 2013-14, I mean, people coined the decade of decadence. People coined, you know, the greatest stint for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as an organization. And you know, Jim was the guy at the helm during that time. So again, it's obviously a really sad and sort of poignant moment, but I'm just glad that I got to know him so well. I'm glad that he got to impact so many people's lives, and Saskatchewan and the Saskatchewan Rough Rider organization are a much better organization because of his leadership and the things he brought.
Nice. Yeah, really nice words there, Luke. And like you said, yeah, man, the outpouring of memories and what kind of guy he was. Like, I think almost everybody that's listened to the show yesterday and today probably has a sense of, like, yeah, I kind of knew the guy, right? Like, these stories, it's like you got to know him. And being a school teacher, someone who spends 95% of my life with a school teacher, it's like, yeah, they're special people. And for him to translate that into the Riders, like, that's the thing that really is, like, amazing to me.
Right. I mean, you know, that's the thing. When you look at just sort of the story, that's what people will read. They're like, oh, wait a second, how did a school teacher or an educator go to being a CEO? And I'll tell you how, is Jim understood leadership. And that's the one thing I think that, you know, specifically that I've learned a lot about since I've left the game, is that leadership transcends industries. And he could have worked at Milky Way all the way through until he was the CEO of the Riders. And I'm not dissing Milky Way. I was just there with my son. But But if you understand leadership, you're going to be successful at a high level in any organization because you knew how to treat people. And you're right. You know, one of the things that I really liked doing yesterday is, you know, scrolling through Instagram and scrolling through Facebook because everybody had a picture of it. Right? Everybody had a picture. Oh, man, here's me and Jim at the Grey Cup. Here's me and Jim at an event. Here's me at, right? And he was always smiling. And that's a guy that was out in the community and made everybody feel important.
Yeah. Kate, I want to shift gears. Before we let you go, I got to ask you on this. And again, great words on Jim. Everybody's super excited, right, when they see this negotiation list and the Riders adding Chase Claypool. It's like, what? They're like the same right. Chase Claypool that had that unbelievable season with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah, right. That one. As a guy that would know, you know, how does the neg list really work? And then second part to that, who's the craziest name you've ever seen on a neg list in the CFL?
Oh man! So the neg list. People overthink the neg list, right? People think that being on the neg list just means that the organization has dived in and they're negotiating. All the neg list means, especially as it is it's a reserved list for American players. Teams are able to identify people that are playing in the NFL or playing in college, and they're able to put them on their negotiation list. And when they put them on their negotiation list, that means that if that player is ever interested in the Canadian Football League, that team gets first rights to negotiate with that player, right?
Yeah.
So just because Chase Claypool's on a neg list for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, it doesn't mean, right, that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are signing him tomorrow. It just means that, hey, if Chase Claypool gets humbled and can't find a landing spot in the NFL and decides that, hey, the CFL is a place where he wants to reevaluate and, more importantly, you know, try to be a professional football player again, then it's going to be the Saskatchewan Roughriders that have those rights to negotiate with him first.
Would there be any smidge of, like, we should put him on because there's a chance. We got word from his agent, or we got word from his, you know, grandma or someone. Yeah?
Absolutely. Man, listen, if I was the CEO or GM of the Riders, there'd be a million people on my negotiation. I'm telling you what, if I saw a kid that had 3 touchdowns in flag football that was 12 years old and he could go on the necklace, I'd put him on there just in case.
Why not?
You never know.
Why not?
Yeah, right. Why not? You're not losing anything. It doesn't cost anybody anything to put a guy on the necklace.
Yeah.
Right? Like, throw him on, sure. I'd be pumped to get a guy like Chase Claypool, man. I watched that kid ball out of Notre Dame. I watched him in the NFL. Look, I get it, man. Listen, being a pro athlete is not easy. You got to mature. You got to be around guys that are like you. You got to be around guys that aren't like you. You got to be willing to sacrifice. Like, man, some guys just mature at a different rate. I think the Saskatchewan Roughriders would be fortunate to be able to pick up the phone and actually negotiate. And if he was interested, he'd be I couldn't wait to negotiate for him, man. His skill set, you just hope that you have a coaching staff that actually got through to this young man. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And the problem is that everybody sees, like, if Mike Tomlin can't get through to you, then there's trouble, right?
I love it. You know what I like is I think the Rider marketing department should just chuck Claypool jerseys in the old team store anyway. Why not?
Oh,
let's sell a few, Luke.
You know what you do? You call it the official necklace jersey. We got official necklace jersey, boys.
Boom.
Claypool's up on the... Yeah, man, why not?
We're good. It's awesome. All right, my man. Thanks so much. I know you had a busy day. Thanks for taking some time. We'll chat with you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Jim Hobson, man. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a good show, guys.
Right on. Luke Wellender on the Western Pizza Hotline. Time for a break. You are listening to The Sports Cage on The Voice of Sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
It's time to step into the radio octagon. You're tuned to The Sports Cage on Saskatchewan Sports Radio, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage on Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. Barney Shinkirk and Kellen Henslev with you as we approach the 4 o'clock hour. Some nice words from Luke Mulder there on Jim Hopson and then the Negrist. Always a battle. All right, back shifting here. We're going back and forth. Football to hockey. We're going back to hockey and the Western Hockey League playoffs. And we're going out on the old Western Pizza hotline here, Kellen. And you were like, who? What are we? And I'm like, oh, yeah. We're going with Big G. Georgie up in Saskatoon. We're going to give you his Twitter handle here right away. But, George, you're a guy that probably gets boots on the ground to more hockey games in Western Canada with a guy with three kids under the age of 14 than anyone else. Last night, you were at the Arthauser Center, Saskatoon Blades, Prince Albert Raiders. I'm going to tell you, George, I turned the game off when it was 3-0. Bad move by Barney.
Well, it's the same old thing here what we have with the Blades. They got to get that killer instinct. They let PA hang around. PA has got one great player, Ryder Ritchie. He comes up with a big goal, a Pavel Bure-like goal. They're right back in the game. So, you know, the Blades got to put that hammer to the nail.
What you've watched this series fairly closely, and the surprise in game one, was that game one? I didn't have eyeballs on that game. That game one, was that all Max Hildebrand?
Certainly. Max Hildebrand standing on his head that game. They were outshot 2-1. Saskatoon really carried the play. PA got the momentum. They got up in the game. It seemed that Elliott was a little bit weak in net, and they managed to stick with him through the whole game. But, of course, they went to Gardner in game two, and that's really turned the tide for Saskatoon.
Yeah, building off that, and then for PA to be right there in game three and lose in overtime again, you got to think it's tough to come back from that for the Raiders. And sorry, George, it's Kellen here. I know you're the president of the Bulls Club, even though Barney gave me no credit for knowing who you are. We've been in a lot of rinks together over the years, and it's great to chat finally.
Hey, great to hear from you, brother. We'll get to know you soon. Yeah, like the thing is, it's just that Saskatoon had turned the tide in the series, and the rest is history there. PA, game three, they were right in there neck and neck, got the late penalty. The crowd was absolutely just pissed about the calls, but the Blades got the power play goal early into overtime. Armstrong ended it. Then they win again last night. It's pretty much game over for the Raiders.
It's Big G on the Western Pizza Hotline. You can follow him at @big_G_09 on Twitter. He's got 14,000 followers for a reason. This guy has his fingers on the pulse in a lot of amateur hockey. Are you as excited as me as a guy that, you know, spent a little time in Swift Current? Are you as excited to see a possible Broncos Moose Jaw Warriors battle?
Well, that's pretty much, it's in the cards already, you know, and it's going to be an absolute war. Both those teams are stacked. The pickups they had before the deadline, some absolute studs on both clubs. They have both have great histories. They have strong clubs. Swift Current's got this unbelievable goalie in Dick, and I think it's just going to be a marvelous series.
Okay, and then, like I said, you spend time around the ranks. Tonight, you are going to the Harold LaTrace or Rod Ham. I can't remember which one they call it now, and I should because I grew up blocks from there. But you're going to check out Game 3, Quakers and Regina Capitals. George, minus senior hockey, could this be the best-kept secret as far as playoff hockey in Saskatchewan?
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic hockey. I hear the Al Ritchie who's packed for their games. We're going to go back to Rod Ham tonight. There's no excuse for the fans not to be there. I hope they get a full house. They say jam the Ham. The Quakers, Caps, they both got great teams. Every game is a one-goal game. First game went into overtime. Anything could happen. And just fantastic hockey players. I know a lot of good ex-AAA midget players and things like that on the ice. And there's story traditions on both sides.
All right, George, go have yourself maybe a pregame nap, maybe grab something to eat, maybe a little Granada House or something, and we'll catch up to you. We want your updates. We'll follow your updates on Twitter.
Sounds good, guys. Have yourself a great afternoon.
Right on. That's Big G. Absolute beauty from up in Saskatoon. Am I wrong, Kellen, when I say this guy takes in more hockey with three kids under the age of 14 than anyone else?
He's everywhere. And I can remember we used to talk about him when I was with the Pats as well and get a good kick out of following his travels around Saskatchewan, obviously Saskatoon-based. And, you know, if I had a chance there, I would have been interested to ask him, too, about the midget AA Capitals and River Kings going back and forth. I'm sure he's not far from that. He was in Regina, game two, Blazers and Pat Canadians. I saw him at that game. And the other thing that's interesting, obviously, being a long-term Blades guy like he has been, obviously neither team's finished off the series yet, but the next round, the other Eastern Conference here could be the Red Deer Rebels led by Dave Strouche, Blades head coach, and the Saskatoon Blades. Sort of nothing to lose for Strouche. He's made a run here up 3-1 on Medicine Hat. You know, I'm sure he would have no issue coming into Saskatoon and maybe ruffling some feathers in the Blades trip.
Kalen Lynn scoring. Oh, yeah, Strouche would love to go back to Saskatoon, maybe do a brake torque in his Camaro going up the ramp just to light it up and get after the Blades, being a former Blade. You know, the one thing we haven't mentioned coming up still... The Keniston Super Draft is back. The Sports Cage is all over this. If you've driven Highway 11, you know what the Keniston Super Draft is. We, in hour two, we're going to get in. We're going to start kind of whittling down our picks, the Sports Cage picks. You're going to get a hand in this. And the one thing that caught me off guard is I still have Seattle and Minnesota on this. No, but we're going to have some fun with the Keniston Super Draft in hour two, along with Arash Madani. And we're talking golf courses in Saskatchewan. What are we expecting in southern Saskatchewan after that rain in January? We're going to talk to Lance from the Royal Regina Golf Club. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, hour two here on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. Did they have a selection of Yetis there? Largest selection in Regina. Check it all out at Extreme Hockey and Sport. Barney Shinkrook and Kellen Enslev here in the second hour of the show. You know what I want to get? Let's get into that. Let's get down to the Keniston Super Draft. This is where I need some audience engagement, please. Capital Ford Lincoln text line 936-6262 text in. I know Sharky is driving back right now. He just texted, driving back from Saskatoon, doing a little work up there today. Probably going to stop at Twisted Sister if it's open in Chamberlain. Maybe grab himself a Sunday. They make a nice burger there, too. Twisted Sister in Chamberlain, so good. Where do we... Okay, so the Keniston Super Draft is back, ladies and gentlemen. This thing is so much fun. You get your wine club together, your splurge club of girls... Or fellas, you get 7 entries. The super bonus, it's called. 7 32-player entries for two Hyundai. $200. All the money, it's all put on by the Keniston Lions Club. The deadline to enter, though, it's like your draft. It's after the playoffs already started a little bit, right? So deadline to enter is April 22nd. That's a Monday. April 22nd at 6 p.m. Central Time. All right, Kellen. We're going to fill one out. We're filling out a Sports Cage one here over the next couple of weeks. So like I said, when you look at the sheet, and anyone can go look at the sheet at superdraft.com, www, of course, superdraft.com. Okay, let's go with, let's start with the West. I'm going to start with the West. I'm going to let maybe McGuire and Don Hewitt and whoever's doing the show next week and tomorrow. So if we're going West, we're going one team here, right? So we get 32 players in the Keniston Super Draft. Calgary Flames, we can cross them off. They're not on. Minnesota Wild crossed them off. Seattle Kraken crossed them off. The team that isn't in here that still has a chance, the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, you say that, and I was looking earlier today. They're a wild card. Like, they're 5 points out. They have 7 games left.
Big game tonight.
Very big game tonight with Nashville. An interesting thing, and it's a shout-out or a homage to our buddy Mike Sillinger, who always says, an 8 always beats a 1. And an interesting thing this year, and I heard you talking about it on the Monday Nooner podcast, is they've moved up the playoffs to start this year on the Saturday to take advantage of Hockey Night in Canada. So the regular season is going to end on Thursday night. And for some teams, late on Thursday night. Vancouver is in Winnipeg. Edmonton's in Colorado on Thursday night. A sneaky team that we talked about a couple weeks ago here on the Cage, the Nashville Predators, they finish up on Monday the 15th. They've got 6 days off to sit and wait with their sneaky lineup. Are they the wild card? Obviously a wild card team.
Are they the silly special?
Yeah, are they the Mike Sillinger special this year? Are they the Cinderella story that's going to come in and upset potentially the Vancouver Canucks?
Okay, let's go to the list here. We've got about a minute and a half before we go to break. Okay, so we're going to take Nashville. Now, we got the list of players from Nashville. Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Ryan McDonagh, Tommy Nowak, Gustav Nyquist, Ryan O'Reilly, Colton Sissons, Philip Tomasino. Did I miss anyone? I missed the first guy.
Luke Evangelista.
Evangelista.
Former London Knight.
Yes. He's got Billy Swagger.
Yeah, I think if you're riding Nashville,
who do you take?
It's rude not to ride Philip Forsberg.
We take one more guy from Nashville.
Playoff pool, Ryan O'Reilly.
That's who you want? Right. So we got 32 guys in the Keniston. This is how it works. 32 guys, right? So we're taking the Nashville box. We're crossing off Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. All right, 936-6262, Capital Ford Lincoln text line. You get the fans, whoever. By 5 o'clock, whoever thinks we should take one more from the Nashville Preds. We could even write in a guy. So who do you want us to take? Let us know in the Keniston Super Draft. One of the Nashville Predators, we can write him in. We'll have some fun with it in the back half of this hour. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
We're talking sports on your way home. This is the Sports Cage on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
The Coast with our man Arash Madani for Brian Gawley Smart Investing Solutions. Always be smart with your money. Give Brian Gawley and his professionals a call. Arash Madani in Phoenix, Arizona right now, getting ready for the Final Four. First off, Arash, I love Phoenix. Are you going to hit up a Waffle House?
I'm not sure about a Waffle House, but a Topgolf I can definitely see in our future, either on Friday or Sunday in between the national semifinals and the championship game.
Yeah. Oh, and the weather down there in April is always just, it's like Groundhog Day, right? We all look at sunny and like 25, 28, whatever it is. But no, let's get on to this case. So this Zachary Eady. 2002 model, born in Toronto. This guy's 7'4". It's amazing watching him play for Purdue.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing too is when you think about his career and life, he was a guy who played hockey and baseball growing up. Now imagine 7'4" coming downhill on you, skates, right? But he was a defenseman in hockey, and he was a pitcher in baseball. How intimidating would that guy be on the mound? And I had a chance to spend some time with him this summer when we were over in Asia for the FIBA World Cup. And he just said, you know, pitching, he ended up with some elbow issues and gave it up. And that's when basketball kind of entered the sphere. And now, Barney, it's amazing to think about what this has become. Last year, the National Player of the Year in college basketball. This year repeats it. And on, last Sunday, In the biggest college game of his career, he gets his school, he gets Purdue into the Final Four for the first time since 1980 with a 40-point performance, his 27th double-double. Like, this guy has just been on a mission to get the Boilermakers into the Final Four and ultimately cut down the Nets on Monday night.
Yeah, you know, and the more I read up and the more I kind of watch things here, and it is fascinating, not to overuse the word, but, you know, his Chinese immigrants, his mother. But, like, so at what age did he play hockey until? Like, he covered the baseball thing.
Yeah, I think early teenager. Then that's when he made the transition to basketball. And what's become so wild about this is that the big man has disappeared from basketball, like your old school center.
Yeah.
You know, what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton and Hakeem Olajuwon used to be. So Edie's actually become a polarizing figure in basketball circles because the NBA nerds are saying, well, there's no room for him in the professional game. And Zach's like, guess what? I'm an athlete. I've played a bunch of different sports. I'm long. I can disrupt on the defensive end. Yeah. And he just continues to have his draft stock rise. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talked to him this summer, he said, I was willing to forego my last year of eligibility, go to the NBA if I was going to get a guaranteed seven-figure contract by a certain deadline. Well, that didn't come by that deadline. So he said, okay, I'll go back to college. That may end up being the smartest move he's ever made. Because, Barney, he's going to end up being a late first-round pick. You mark my words. And that guaranteed money he was looking for is coming his way. So you repeat being the National Player of the Year. You are on this stage at the Final Four. You're able to show your athleticism, your versatility from all those years of playing all those different sports. There's a payoff coming for this kid. And now this weekend, it's going to be there for the world to see.
What kind of guy is he? Is he like the introvert, or is he just a natural born leader? Like, what kind of guy is he?
It's hard for me to kind of say, because I was around him this summer where he was the young buck. He was the rookie amongst a bunch of NBA dudes, but he fit right in. He is the guy who spends a ton of time after practice putting in the work.
Yeah.
That much is obvious. But I had some quiet time with him, and there is a confidence there that, you know, he's not going to be denied. Yeah. And that really kind of came across in our conversation. He wants this badly, which you saw on Sunday in his walk-off interview with CBS. He dropped an F-bomb, Barney. He said, you know, you guys don't believe us? Well, F that. So there's no question that fire burns deeply for him. How he shows it in that college environment, I'm not quite sure.
Who should I sprinkle on when it comes to the Final Four here?
See, I'm in the same boat. I a while back, like a long while back, I watched a lot of college hoops, and I'm like, Connecticut's the best team. Mm-hmm. And so I got UConn at plus 900.
Nice.
Now we get to the Final Four, and there's a cash-out possibility. I can get 6-1 on UConn just by cashing out now.
Are you scared? Are you worried about them against an Alabama or if they advance?
It's just staring me right in the face. Like, it's almost like intimidating me, you know?
I hear you.
Is Connecticut the best team? Yep, no question. But here's the thing about March Madness. It's not a best of seven. It's
one game shootout,
it's not
baby.
A best of five. It's not a best of three.
Yeah. Yeah.
One and done, right?
One game shootout, different venue, a lot of things, a lot of factors at play.
It's a football stadium, so your sight lines are different. The 3-point shot is different.
Yeah.
The court's elevated. The benches are sunk. Yeah. Like, it's a different vibe altogether.
There's a Top Golf across the highway there, by the way.
Right.
And the
old Coyotes arena just gathering dust.
Yeah, yeah. AEG took it over. They probably have some sort of figure skating or Disney on Ice there. I'm a big cash out guy, so I would lean to the cash out there. But let's move on here. Let's move on. We talked Tuesday, and I said, is it time to panic for Blue Jay fans? And then now we're in the Thursday here. Is it time to panic for Blue Jay? Jay fans.
It's not time to panic for Blue Jay fans. I will just say that. You know, seven games in, there's, you know, check notes, 155 to go. But there's a couple of things that are like make you raise your eyebrow kind of thing. The first is they couldn't hit all year last year. And they couldn't hit in the postseason last year. And now comes this season and they can't hit this year either. And you're saying to yourself, what the heck is going on? And then you kind of dig deeper into it a little bit. Barney, this opening week, they've like set the worst kind of history imaginable. First team in 100-plus years, but in the first week of the season, they get victimized by a no-hitter and a one-hitter. First time since 1901 that's happened. And they've just set franchise records for the fewest hits and the lowest batting average. They're hitting 106 in a three-game series. So, look, baseball's all about sample size.
Yeah.
The sample size is extremely small, except it's strange, it's befuddling, and now it seems like it's a bit of a pattern because it goes back to last year, too.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Again, you know, like when I call my 83-year-old mother, I have to hear about how disappointed she is with the Blue Jays every time I call her. Okay, not to bounce around here, but I want to bounce back, and I wanted to get your take on this because I think it's I saw it coming, not to be, you know, a Nostradamus and I told you so, but the March Madness ratings, record high for the women's side, record low for the men's side. And then I was looking at ticket prices to the Final Four. The women tickets are higher than the men's. I don't know if I've ever seen that, if we'll ever see it again.
You think, so there's a number of reasons for it. One, the women's game has become so much better, more electrifying, more exciting than ever before. Two, you have a phenomenon of a star in Caitlin Clark. But three, and this is to me why college sports is in some real trouble right now, is that there's less and less of an opportunity to have a connection with a player to a program. You know, you always knew, because of the transfer portal, people can always kind of leave. You don't even know what colleges anybody is playing for anymore. You can't develop stars. After one season, someone's going on to the pros. Whereas in the women's game, they're staying there for 3 and 4 years. You have that connection to them. Everybody knows Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa. You know, back in the day, everybody knew Patrick Ewing played for Georgetown. That doesn't exist anymore in the men's game, and that's making a real impact on the business of it, because if you don't feel like you know these guys, if you don't feel like there's something there, then you're just not going to watch.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was talking to a college hockey coach a month ago, and, you know, on the heels of the NCAA Frozen Four, which is starts next weekend, and maybe, you know, the boys will talk about that on the cage next week. But this transfer portal, like, he's like, you're scared sometimes to look at a kid the wrong way, let alone read him the Riot Act.
I know.
Like, you think about that, like 10, 15, 20 years ago, like it would be like a fantasy land. It's like, no, I'll just transfer then. And I think football and basketball, obviously more prevalent, and you're going to see it a ton. But yeah, it's like, who's playing where now? What's going on?
It's like, and so here's what's going to happen, Barney. You mark my words. There is going to end up being some kind of, instead of a Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, Big East, blah, 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 there's going to end up being some kind of super conference that's going to exist with, like, the top 15 programs in America. And by programs, I mean schools. Yeah. That are all going to be part of it for football. And then there's going to be a super conference for hockey, and there's going to be a super conference for basketball. And so there's going to be no regional rivalries. There's going to be no Florida State anymore. There's going to be no Michigan, Ohio State anymore. There's not going to be USC, UCLA anymore, because you're either going to be in the super conference and make all the money, or you're not, and you're going to be like in a second tier.
Yes. Yeah. I was just going to say, like, a tier two, tier three. I can see it. Okay, we've taken up a lot of your time. I know you're busy down there in the Valley of the Sun. I'm telling you, man, hit up a Waffle House, send me a picture, and have fun down there.
I definitely will on all of those fronts. I appreciate you, boss.
Arash Madani, coast to coast for Brian Golly. He's down there. He's going to be back next week. And we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, more chat about the NHL playoffs and the Keniston Super Draft.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at SportsCage. Now back to the action on Sports Radio 620 CKRM.
That is right, big voice guy. We are back to the action. It's Barney Schenker and Cal Enslev here on this Thursday edition of the Sports Cage for our friends at Extreme Hockey and Sport. I know. I was just wondering if you remembered. Big Yeti collection was just in there yesterday. Man, do they have Yetis. This Yeti ice bucket. Yeti people are a passionate folk. Get down to Extreme Hockey and Sport here in Regina. We're going to keep things going. It's now time for the clutch performer for Nick Service in Emerald Park. Your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
Free, Caswell gets it. Clark Caswell for Geeky. A shot. He scores! Game winner, series winner, the Broncos off to round two.
That's right. If you're just tuning into the show and avoiding potholes on your way home, it was Connor Geeky in double overtime last night for the Swift Current Broncos. The Broncos clinch the series against Lethbridge and now await. Will it be the Moose Jaw Warriors as they try and wrap things up in Brandon this evening? We chatted with Connor Geeky 20 minutes into the program. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast at any time, you'll find that conversation. So he was our clutch performer for our friends at Nick's Service. All right, Kellen, back to the task at hand. 936-6262. Anyone wants to chime in and get in on this? We're doing our Keniston Super Draft. Sports Cage, over the next couple weeks, we're going to be doing our Keniston Super Draft picks. And we want some audience involvement. 936-6262. We have decided we are going to take three players from the Nashville Predators. And we're thinking they might be a silly special, which Mike Sillinger always says, an eight always beats a one. We know it's not always. But Silly's been pretty darn near right in a lot of years. Okay, so the two gentlemen that we've picked so far, Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. Now, we got Kent and Calvin that they both want us to take Roman Josi. And then Rick, Bart, and Ty want Gustav Nyquist. I like that pick.
Yeah, I mean, Josi is a sneaky pick. Obviously, a lot of assists. Playoff time, you need guys who are going to bear down and put the puck in the net. And I think Nyquist is the guy there. More so than Josi, which is not to say he's not going to put up a boatload of points, but they're almost dead on based on regular season points. Josi with 19 goals and 57 assists. Gustav Nyquist, 22 goals, 46 assists.
You are on the ball. You have their last remaining games. You still have that pulled up for the Nashville Predators. You said it's not an exactly... a gauntlet.
Yeah, no, Nashville, if the season ended today, has only one playoff team left in their remaining seven games. You mentioned earlier they're going to face off tonight with the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, is that a good game?
The team that's chasing them. Obviously, 5 points behind, only seven games left. And then they're going to finish with the New York Islanders, the New Jersey Devils, Winnipeg, who is the lone playoff team, Chicago, Columbus, and Pittsburgh down the stretch. Definitely not a murderer's row. And again, ending on Monday the 15th, which is going to give them at least 6 days of rest before they enter the first round of the playoffs, if they can keep the train on the tracks here.
Our first female has chimed in. Again, sorry, maybe it's someone named Cindy, so I'm going to assume it's a female. Also likes Roman Josi, so everyone's kind of leaning towards Rossi. Now, Josi, I mean. Okay, dailyfaceoff.com, I love this site, especially when I'm sitting in your backyard and we're doing our draft, hammering back some 016s. We have the line combinations. Philip Forsberg plays currently with Ryan O'Reilly and Gustav Nyquist on the first line. Then you got Jason Zucker, forgot about Zucker, with Colton Sissons and Anthony Bevelier. And then Mark Jankowski, Tommy Novak, and the Evangelist. And then Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Kiefer Sherwood. But what I like to go to, and I probably wouldn't do it here because this ain't the Golden Knights from last year. I'm going to load up on them. I like to look at that first power play unit and who plays the point, right? So first power play unit, they have Evangelista, O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist, Philip Forsberg, and Roman Josi. Does that mean they don't put any D-men on the ice?
Yossi's a defenseman, but yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so Josi.
Yeah.
So Josi touches the puck a lot.
He will spend a lot of time with the puck on a stick, for sure. And he's an excellent pick. I just think if you're taking three guys from Nashville, I mean, it's aggressive to take three guys that are playing on the same line, because if they do get shut down, they're shut down. But if they go, oh, baby, are they going to purr? I'm thinking Pat Blues level numbers.
I think our third, I'm leaning to our third guy being Roman Josi from the Preds. Get in on it. Capital Ford Lincoln text line 936-6262. Let's go out to the Western Pizza hotline right now. And we teed this up a little bit earlier. It is almost golf season. We're talking to Connor Geeky for the Swift Current Broncos. He's talking about the beautiful golf courses in Wenatchee, Washington. And it's getting close here in Saski. And I know that Southwest area is always kind of the first one. Fortunate enough to grab some time here with our super at the Royal Regina. He's done amazing work, Lance Wakefield. Lance, I know you're a hockey guy. We skate a little bit. Would you have any insight on who our third guy from the Nashville Predators in our playoff pool should be?
Well, I missed who the first two are right now.
Well, we've locked in. We've locked in Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. So far, for our third one, people are leaning towards Roman Josi or Gustav Nyquist.
I would probably go with Nyquist for this one.
Forward, yeah. See, Lance has nice myths around. You know, he likes the forward kind of guy. So that's why you went there. Let's get down to action here. Okay, so I am very, very curious on the rain that we received in the Regina area, and I think it might have even been February. I was saying January, and we didn't have a lot of snow cover, and I'm seeing this rain coming down, and then I'm seeing the temperature the next day get, you know, fairly cold, and I am, you know what, in my boots. Where do we stand right now? What are things looking like out there, Lance?
You know what? Over the last couple of days, things are coming around really nicely. Ground's still pretty frozen. That February rain, late January, had me a little bit concerned, but didn't see any major ice buildup. We were late enough in the season that didn't feel there was going to be any major damage, but it's always still a little too early to tell with conditions not quite growing yet.
Can you speak broadly, I guess, of all of Southern Saskatchewan? Like, I know you're in Regina here and you're at the Royal, but I'm sure you talk to a lot of guys and you know, you're kind of equals around the province. Are we looking at kind of the same thing across all of Southern Saskatchewan?
Yeah, definitely. Southern Saskatchewan had better winter conditions this year than some of the rest of the province. I know courses are starting to get prepared to be opening in the next few weeks here. Most of the guys that I've talked to haven't had much ice. They're all feeling pretty confident with the conditions leading into the spring here. If we do go to the northern part of the province, Saskatoon North, I've heard a lot of guys mention they've had ice on greens, ice in fairways. Again, talk to them. It's also a little early to tell. Wait until the conditions turn a little bit more here and we can get out there and assess things a lot better.
So is the ice what brings on winter kill?
There's a couple things. The ice, what happens with the ice, if you get it earlier in the winter, the grass still needs to breathe under there, even though it's dormant, and it suffocates it. With having a bare winter, we can see some desiccation from the wind blowing. Everything out there here at Royal Regina is looking pretty good right now, but yeah, ice is always the biggest nemesis with us, and with some of the climate changes we've seen with winters over the last few years, yeah, it's definitely a big challenge for us in the industry to get our courses put to bed for the winter and have them coming out as perfect as we can in the spring, that's for sure.
With the addition of the simulators inside at Royal Regina the last few winters, do you feel like you really are going to have your personal game right in play come spring? I was there yesterday grabbing some lunch, and I saw Maya's son, Owen, just swinging hard for about 90 minutes getting his game ready after a long Hockey Regina season.
Yeah, I haven't actually hit the simulators this year at all. I wait to let it fly through the golf course and spray it all over out there. Very, very much looking forward to getting out on the course again this year, for sure.
What's the most important time of the year for the shape of a golf course? Is it winter? Is it, you know, earlier or late fall, in early winter or late winter, maybe into the spring? You know, like to get those conditions from June to end of September that we love. Like, what's the most important time?
I would say putting that course to bed for the winter gives you the best success come springtime. And then if you're not having to worry about replacing turf, interseeding, overseeding, patching up dead spots, as long as you got to put to bed for the winter well, usually you can hit the spring running. And that's kind of in my mind, mm-hmm. our most important time of the year.
What's the evolution like in putting a course to bed? Like, has much changed in the last 10 to 20 years?
We're definitely seeing a lot more golf courses start going with solid tarps on greens, keeping that ice off the greens. For the most part, it's a budget issue. It is an expensive practice to do. It's very labor intensive. So the smaller courses, you know, it's tough for them to get that kind of practice in place. And yeah, over the last 10 to 20 years, that's probably the biggest one you're seeing is protecting those greens kind of as your main asset on the club.
And when you look at the extended forecast and how things are, you know, let's say all of southern Saskatchewan, when do you think we'll start seeing people out on golf courses?
Well, I heard could be southwest corner, could be looking to open some courses here next week. I've heard some city courses and areas are starting to look at getting going in the next week. I would give it a couple more weeks yet. Ground's still pretty frozen. We're out there today trying to do a bit of work, and this wind and the heat will definitely help progress, and we're looking at starting to pull our tarps come Monday.
Right on, right on. Hey, Lance, thanks so much today. That's some great insight, you know, to kind of hear about how everything works and appreciate it. And I can't wait to get out there and start swinging the old wrenches.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, and I look forward to seeing all the members out at the Royal Regina, and good luck with everybody's golf season this year.
Right on. That is Lance Wakefield. He is the course superintendent at the Royal Regina, giving us a kind of a look at golf. This show, when I'm hosting, will have a lot of golf talk throughout the spring and summer. It's obviously massive in Saskatchewan. And you know what? Like, you think about it, Kellen, though. Post-COVID, like, because during COVID, it's really the only thing you could do besides play Clue with your kids for 3 hours a night and watch some old country music videos and drink a Last Mountain whiskey. Maybe that's just what I did. But golf, like, exploded, and a lot of people are still playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's great, the introduction of the sport, especially for the youth, as sort of a different experience for them and an opportunity to get out and get active, and especially those who aren't old enough to drive carts can, you know, get used to walking a golf course and stay walking as they transition into adults for their fitness.
And what I am seeing, and you know, so with a kid that's turning 13, another one turning 11, and you know, the kind of the crew we run in and people, the kids are all the same age. What I'm seeing is junior golf is getting a bit of a resurgence here because there's so many dads and moms that play the game. And the kids, you know, and then so all you need is like two or three kids is what I'm seeing that kind of have this golf bug. And then that turns into four and five and six. Because I think now like I'm in the Pigeons at the Royal Regina. And now we got like a mini Pigeons with all the kids. And I think that's sitting at like eight this year now. So junior golf, I think, is in a really good spot. The thing I don't like about the explosion of golf over the last number of years is the cost, and especially going down to the States. And I know everything's gone up price-wise, right? Like when you have a carbon tax, obviously everything is going to go up. But, you know, from the fertilizers and everything they use, down in that, it is so expensive. And I'm just, I try every angle possible to save a few bucks and go golf down south because it's become nuts. And tee times, and they don't really care. They're like, whatever. We're full anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sort of thinking both ends of the spectrum there. The one thing that has not gone up in price going into year four of going to Candle Lake on Father's Day with a bunch of pigeons from Sherwood Forest, and that's still 3 days all you can golf with accommodation, where $230. We just keep running it back with that trip. But today I was looking. I'm going to be heading up to L'Orange in August.
Ooh, LA.
For the Tony Cote Indigenous Games for soccer.
Yeah.
And our supervisor of officials has said, see what you can find out about the Eagle Point Resort to play golf. And I looked it up, and it's like $62 for nine holes in a cart, and it's mandatory cart, quote unquote, at that time of year. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'll be paying $62 to play nine holes in L'Orange.
Isn't it just a nine banger?
It is a nine banger, yeah.
Yeah. And you know the other thing, when you go that, what month are you sitting?
August.
Yeah, August is fine. You go June and July up there, especially after a lot of snow, you're getting the mosquitoes, like, ooh, and that boreal forest up there. Okay, time for a break. Little golf chat there when we come back quickly. We're going back. 936-6262. Who the heck should our third Nashville Predator in the Keniston Super Draft be? Are we going to go with Roman Josi? Are we going with Gustav Nyquist? Maybe there's a write-in option there. You're listening to The Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The Kings of Saskatchewan Sports Talk. This is The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside The Sports Cage. Barney Shankrick and Callum Enslev here on Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. Keniston Super Draft is back this year. So much to be won. Over 80,000 in prizes. Like I said, you can get into the mixer for $40. $40 and you're there dancing. You fill out your 32 players. You can write some in. This is where it gets really creative. And then you can do the Super 8, 1-8 player Super 8 for only $10, because they got the Super 8. It's like a little add-on. It's like these boxes at the bottom where you just pick 8 players and you pick 2 from each box. If you got to go online and check this out. It's just like classic. And like I said, if you've ever driven down Highway 11 and you know with Keniston and the Keniston Super Draft, it's plastered on the rink there on the side. It is superdraft.com. So we're deadlocked here. Three people think we should take Roman Josi, and three think we should take Gustav Nyquist.
I don't know, Shink. I think in honor of you flying overseas here with your star son Roman to play in Europe tomorrow, I think that has to take it over the top. I know I've been pushing for Nyquist here all the way, but I think Roman, Shinkaruk, Josi might be the third pick for us, and we're going to ride it out.
Well, let's give it a few more minutes. Let's see who can break the break it. Getting back to the golf, and then while we're talking gambling here, the Masters coming up. And there is that, you know, that is the, and some people say it's March Madness, but I heard it is the most popular time to go to gentle procedures and get a no needle, no scalpel vasectomy. Like, vasectomy time equals the Masters. And it makes sense right? Because you're just sitting around and guys want to watch golf and the gambling on it. So my issue is in January, when it comes to the Masters, I have this wad of tickets that I placed bets on and I started going through it and I'm like, what state of mind was I in when I bet? I think I don't even know if two of the guys are still alive, for starters. I have no idea. One guy's got like eight syllables and the symbol for boron in his name, and I'm like, who did I bet on here? But I do have Colin Morikawa. Don't know why I took him. I think I took Xander Schauffele because I'm a Xander Schauffele sucker every year when it comes to the Masters. Oh, and I took Cam Smith because the only year I didn't take him, he won. And he plays the course well. And it's a course that I think if you go back 10, 5 years and you just keep looking on who plays the course well, because it's kind of a, not quirky, but it's a tricky course.
Speaking of people who play the course well, is this the year of Tiger? Is Tiger back?
I bet on Tiger Woods. And then I saw that he backed out, but then I think that was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, he's in.
He's in.
He's definitely in.
Yeah, I think I got him at 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, they're saying that he's working hard in the gym.
He's eating right today. Yeah,
and he has
abstained.
He has abstained. He has taken an important part of his life out of his life right now. So
yeah, I saw that on Twitter, and I don't know how much there is that. I don't know if his body can walk that course for 4 rounds. There's a lot of hills there. I've never been there. You should get Sean McNall on the program, or Sean Kindop. They both have walked that course. So little Masters action there. And then, who are we taking in the Super Draft, Sports Cage people? 936-6262. Should it be Gustav Nyquist? Should it be Roman Yossi? We need our last Nashville Predator here. Time for news break and all that after. When we come back, 5 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to Nick Schultz from Strasburg, Saskatchewan, who is a development coach for the Philadelphia Flyers. You are listening to the local home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Welcome inside the Radio Octagon. This is Saskatchewan's number one sports talk show, The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. New owner and Donnie Uren and his crew taking over. Same great service they've had for 35 years over there. It's Barney Shankarek and Kellen Enslev. So we've got an hour left in the books here, and we are buzzing on our Keniston Super Draft pick. The Sports Cage has decided to take 3 players from the Nashville Predators, as we think they are going to end up in 8, and they might do the silly special, and an 8 always beats a 1. But we're deadlocked here. Like, we got another rando coming in from Saskatoon, texting in the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. Absolutely, Roman Yossi wants us to take. I got Mark wants Yossi, and then Justin has to go and buck everything and go with Tomasino.
Philip Tomasino, that would be out of left field with a top 3 pick.
As our third guy, he plays, where does he play here? He plays,
he's a forward, he must be hurt.
He must be hurt, because he's not even listed. Yeah, so yeah. So Mark, check your house for a gas leak. We're not going to be taking, him, unfortunately. But there's something to be said about Jason Zucker as a write-in, I think. Playoff guy, get a little greasy. Speaking of greasy, I got to give a plug here to the 2011 Regina Titans. Big win, game 1 in Moose Jaw, the icebreaker tournament. You guys go tonight. You're coaching as well.
Yeah, the Springboks are going to, or the Tarantulas, as some may call them, are going to get into action here tonight.
Against Lethbridge.
Uphill battle for the Buffaloes, but they're looking to stay hot, coming off a big provincial championship season over the winter. But
any mind games early with those Lethbridge guys?
I don't know. Do you let the wild bull Logan Schmidt go right off the draw, as hard in as he can?
No. You send him down to pull their net down, and you use both nets for a warm up. The old Swift Current Indian days. Darren Kimball told that story on the Nooner.
Hide their pegs. so they can't get their net in. Hide the start the game late.
No, you only hide the pegs when you need to buy time when your goalie sleeps in. That's a classic. Okay, NHL, to stay on this, the Philadelphia Flyers, and I thought they were in. And because remember, it was a few weeks ago we talked, and I was like, the Flyers are in? I'm like, have I been under a rock? And now the Flyers are looking, they're clawing to stay in.
I said it on break, like, they're an enigma. Like, what a weird franchise.
And, absolutely.
And you would have no idea. If you didn't look at the standings, and if I didn't, I would have no idea they were in the mix with, like, brand new goalie just came over from Russia, right? Yep. In right into the net. Tortorella scratching his captain and scratching career, like, you know, veteran players.
How did he break his hand? Did he hit a desk really hard? Or something? Was he yeah, ticked off one day? Yeah, they are. They're a weird situation, because Washington, and then you just brought up, and then here it goes again. Pittsburgh is still got a chance, but they got an extremely hard schedule.
Yeah, they have 7 games left, and there's a scenario where every one of the games they play the rest of the way are playoff teams. They're getting Washington, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders.
Yeah.
That is a murderer's row of games. And if they can pull it off and they can get sneak into that 8 spot, like, they're going to have to be playing playoff hockey. And, you know, maybe they catch a Rangers or a Boston sleeping.
Sid, I guarantee Evgeny Malkin's already got something booked in, like, Bora Bora. They know they're not making the playoffs. The way that guy plays too, like, I feel bad for Sid, man. He plays his jockstrap off.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for an organization like Pittsburgh to have moved Gensel out and to still be right on the cusp, like, I don't think they're a playoff run type team. But you essentially have five teams for 4 spots right now, with Philadelphia holding a spot right now. You got Washington, Detroit, the Islanders are there, the Penguins are in the mix. They're all within 3 points, sort of give or take. Somebody's got to make it.
Let's stay on the Philadelphia Flyers, and let's go chatting here. All right, back out on the Western Pizza. And we're talking to Strasburg's own Nick Schultz, who is part of the Philadelphia Flyers organization. Nick, how you doing out there in Philly land?
Things are good, yeah, things are good. Getting down on the wire here, so it's been exciting for the Flyers. Phantoms, our minor league team's kind of fighting for a playoff spot too, so it's been good. The team's overachieved a little bit this year and is up in everyone kind of had them pegged for bottom 5 in the league, so it's kind of nice they're fighting for a spot to play in the postseason.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, like, what were the realistic expectations for the Philadelphia Flyers heading into this season?
Yeah, I think from our standpoint behind the scenes, I think we kind of understood that we are a little bit better than what most people are giving the team credit for. Missing Couture and Atkinson last year really hurt the team, and with some of these trades and signings, bringing in Hathaway and Poehling, and with Erickson at the start, kind of the goalie there with Carter Hart. Obviously, the whole Carter Hart situation has kind of changed things a little bit in net for us before Fedotov came in recently. So there's been a few different changes there. But I think for us, yeah, we knew we had a more competitive team than what people were giving them credit for. And obviously, with a coach like John Tortorella, you know, you're going to get the most out of your players, and guys are gonna play hard and buy in. And I think give the guys credit with the young guys that have stepped in as well too. We got a good mix of guys and trying to build the culture of the team back up here to be a consistent playoff team. So
yeah, and it's, you know what, absolutely fighting and clawing for a playoff spot right now. This is super exciting. You guys have played 76 games, so only a few left. And, you know, Washington's down there with 2 games in hand. John talked about in a press conference about, you know, the guys need to elevate their play right now, and the coaches need to elevate, you know, their coaching right now. Is that maybe something that that's been lacking the last, let's say, week? Is the guys just haven't elevated enough?
Yeah, I think it's something that definitely, obviously, as you get to this time of year, it's a different level. So I think he's looking for a response there. And I know they talked, they basically went through seven games where they played all playoff teams, top teams, you know, with the Rangers, the Panthers, you know, some really good teams, Boston that they went through. And then they got, you know, with Montreal after that and the Islanders losing those two games. So I think that kind of put them on, you know what I mean? Just on notice a little bit, not playing well in those games and not up, you know, kind of bringing their game to a next level, playing against, you know, teams that were on the outside looking in. So I think now they really got to step up. They go Buffalo, Columbus this weekend. So similar situation with non-playoff teams, but you can see Buffalo's got a, you know, some guys that can play there, an up-and-coming young team that just hasn't made it work yet, but they'll be tough team to beat. And then obviously going into Columbus, all these teams at the end of the season that are out of the playoff picture have, you know, playing for jobs and for next year to prove that they can play in the NHL. So those will be a couple tough games, and the team needs to step up and be ready to get some wins. So
John Tortorella, you know, I don't know him, never crossed paths with him, just everything that you see, he seems like such a throwback style coach, Nick.
Yeah, he is for sure, and I think that's just his personality. That was the, you know, the main reason the Flyers hired him when Chuck Fletcher was still here and brought him in. He just, you know, they needed a change of culture here, and with these young players coming up and going with the younger team, I think it's important for these guys to learn the pro game. And he really does hold guys accountable, not just from the young guys, but to the older guys as well. And I think you saw that with the scratching of the captain here, Sean Couturier, and different things like that. He just kind of, he wants the guys to be bought in and bring their A game and play hard regardless of who you are. So I think it's, you know, it sets the tone there for these young guys to learn the pro game, and accountability. And he is, yeah, he's one of the few, you know, throwback guys that left that coaches like that. And I think it's been good for our young players and the team in general just to buy in and play a certain system, certain structure to give themselves a chance to win and get in the playoffs.
Your eyeballs, you watch a lot of hockey, especially that Eastern Conference. Your eyeballs right now, if you had to pick a team, maybe they're not, you know, maybe it's not New York who's leading. In the East, who would be the favorites from what you've seen so far right now, playoff-wise?
Yeah, I think probably Florida with the run that they had last year and the way that they play, their personnel and their team. I just think they have that kind of makeup for the playoffs. Obviously, good goaltending as well, and they got some firepower up front that can score. So I think they can play a lot of different ways. And people have talked this year when they get behind, you talk about that throwback mentality. They'll kind of mix it up a little bit, and so they got some pests there and Cousins and some of these guys. And obviously the way the Chuck plays, you guys seen him out in Calgary. He's kind of the catalyst there with the skill that he has, but the grit. And I think they play a hard game. So I think they would probably be the top team right now in my mind. But you got teams like Boston, Toronto, all there's some good teams, obviously, with 32 teams in the league, you got 16 making. I think every team in the playoffs is an excellent team and going to be a tough out. So it really is, you know, playoff hockey in first round. There's going to be some big upsets. Carolina's kind of bolstered their team a little bit with the additions of Gensel and Kuznetsov and those guys. So there's, you know, there's teams out there that have added some firepower that want to get through on the East. So, I mean, you look at the East, you look at the West, there's some really good teams, and obviously a handful to me, like six, seven, eight teams that are legitimate cup contenders. So,
yeah. Nick Schultz from Strasburg, Saskatchewan, part of the Philadelphia Flyers, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline here. Hey, Nick, when I go through you, I think you played 32 NHL playoff games. You had a nice run with the Wild. I think it was your second year in the show. Is there a playoff moment that's kind of engraved into your memory from your years playing?
Yeah, I think like you said, being a young guy playing, we had that was our biggest run in many there. We got a chance to win a couple game sevens, one against Colorado and one against Vancouver coming back from being down 3-1. So I think those are probably the biggest moments in my career, having a chance to come back, win game sixes at home, and both were going on the road, winning game seven, take up the end of Patrick Waugh's career when Andrew Burnett scored in overtime against him, and then same with Vancouver, going back into Vancouver, flying back in on I believe it was a back-to-back, and then late and beating those guys in game seven. So it was pretty pretty special just to have those opportunities. Like you said, it's tough. I think it's like tough to get in the playoffs and have success in the playoffs. You see these teams doing it. It's the best time of year, and it's fun hockey to watch. Anytime you can be a part of it, I think it's great memories for those guys involved.
Hey, you're a former Prince Albert Raider. You know, you got to love PA. Are you following what they're doing? Do you keep track on the Raiders?
I keep tabs a little bit, not probably as much as I did when I was first out of there, but we got some prospects playing out in the Western Hockey League. We got a defenseman that we drafted last year, Carter Southern, out in Portland, who's a very good team. We have Carson Bjornsson, goalie, that's in Brandon. So more of my eyes are kind of on our prospects and stuff, as not as much with the Raiders, just in being on the development side. But still, yeah, it's fun. I know they're playing the Blades right now. What's the series at?
It's they were down 3-0, I think, last night. They came back, forced overtime. Blades won again, and Blades are obviously absolutely stacked. Blades won in overtime, so they're down 3-1, the Raiders, in the series. But I don't even know if you know this little nugget. Max Hildebrand, the goalie for the Raiders, his father's the GM in the management team of the Saskatoon Blades. So it's like, dad again. How crazy would that be, right? Where you're playing against your son. Yeah. You want him to do well, but you want to advance. That's wild.
Yeah, that is wild. Yeah, but that's it's great to have those two teams match up. PA and Saskatoon, it's a great rivalry. So PA is a great place it was a great place to play. And always kind of, like you said, don't keep as close to tabs now, just being removed from it for a while. But definitely the Western League, I've been out there and watched some games this year with our guys that are out there, and it's a great league and fun hockey to watch. So
yeah. No, you know what? I want to tell you before I let you go, my 12-year-old was out in Strasbourg playing an exhibition game, little peewee double A action, and I just have to tell you, the rink burgers are still absolutely unreal in Strasbourg.
That's good. Nothing's changed. And yeah, definitely had a solid rink burger. So I miss when you could go there and the candy was like 5 cents back in the day, and you could fill your pockets. A little different now, but yeah, it's a good spot. So it's nice to see small town hockey still surviving and going there with all the schools and the academies and stuff popping up. So you don't like to see the kids still playing and getting opportunity in small towns to play the game that everybody loves so much to play. So
Right on, Nick. Hey, thanks so much. I know it's a busy time of the year for you, and I think everyone, you know, that's a Flyers fan, and then everyone from Strasbourg probably rooting for you guys to get in and make a run. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, glad to jump on anytime.
Saskatchewan's best coverage of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is on the Sports Cage, right here on the Mighty 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. The heavy metal music at 5:30. Barney Shinkaruk and Kellen Enslev here. Sports Cage on Thursdays for extreme hockey and sport. If you've missed anything on the program, podcast, you can download it later this evening and listen to it on Spotify. You can go to the website and check it out, or Apple. We had Craig Reynolds talking about Jim Hobson early. Connor Geeky from the Swift Current Broncos, the double overtime winner last night. He was on in hour one. SJHL report. Hour two, Arash Madani. He's at the Final Four in Phoenix, Arizona. Lance from the Royal Regina. Lance Wakefield, the superintendent at the Royal Regina. He was in to talk about golf courses in southern Saskatchewan, what we can expect after the winter we've had, and then when some of them are firing up. Nick Schultz, last half hour here, he was talking about the Philadelphia Flyers and their quest to get a playoff spot. Still coming up, we got Glenn Suter momentarily, and then we're going to be joined by Troy Walkington, head coach of the Saskatoon Blazers. They're on the ice right now. We talked to Troy a little bit earlier on this afternoon about regionals going on in Winnipeg. Let's get back to our Keniston Super Draft here, Kellen. And the text line, 936-6262. We got another no-name, an anonymous saying for Roman Josi. So I think at this point it's safe to say we take our third, I'm filling it in right now, third Nashville Predator is Roman Josi. So we get 32 players. How many teams in the West strategically should we go with? Like, I think the West is just so hard.
Yeah, I think we got a bit of a murderer's row in the Central for sure. It's hard. I know you've been a big proponent of the Dallas Stars here for a while.
Maybe I'm just saying that.
But I'm not writing off the Colorado Avalanche.
Why would you? They're unbelievable.
5 points back, game in hand. It's going to be interesting. I mean, ultimately, there's a good chance the winner of the Central Division is going to end up matching up with the Nashville Predators, so I don't know if that's necessarily a play for the Super Draft to be automatically losing three players in the first round, no matter what, if you ride two teams. But similarly, in the Pacific, Vancouver has had a surprising season. Are they a compelling playoff team? Maybe not. The Edmonton Oilers and Vegas Golden Knights would match up if it all ended today.
Nah.
I'm a Vegas guy. I'm not a Stuart Skinner guy. My blood runs thick with the Regina Pats, and so I will never be a Stuart Skinner guy. So, yeah, I think the Western Conference is an interesting paradigm for sure in terms of picking who else you want to ride from that side. I think Colorado, but...
Yeah. You know what's funny? And we should have got Lotto Lawrence on from Saskatoon because he is a Super Draft veteran. And he knows... I'd like to... Maybe if anyone's listening out there, someone that's performed well in this for more than 3 years, I would like to know their strategy and how they've gone about this. Because I've gone in this thing probably, I'd say, 6 times. I've never gotten a check back.
No, I think
not even close.
I think I've been in the thousands anytime I've played.
That's the demoralizing thing. It's so fun to be involved, and then you're like, all right, let's see where I am. And then I'm like, oh, wow.
Scrolling. Yeah.
There's people's pets ahead of me. Yeah. There's got to be some sort of, strategy. I don't, you know what? I was so big on the Winnipeg Jets a month ago and really wanting them to do well and all that. Yeah. I don't know if they can turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're too far gone now. I mean, stranger things have happened to fall into a wild card spot. If Nashville was to steal that spot, but right now, matching up with either Dallas or Colorado is not a super exciting task at hand at all.
Well, I think I got to leave it, right? I'm gone for 2 weeks. So we're going to leave it. We'll see what McGuire and Hewitt and whoever else is filling in on this program will take. And, I don't want to touch Vegas. As much as Vegas did for me last year, I'm not loyal. I don't have a team, right? It's just whoever I bet on.
Absolutely. And Vegas is my team, so I won't be picking Golden Knights either. I hope that they make another run here in the West.
I just found the other day on PlayNow.com, Saskatchewan's only legalized sports betting site, that I put down a $20 future in October on the Los Angeles Kings to win the Western Conference. No idea when I did that. Well, kind of like my Masters bets in Vegas. I bet on people that might not even be alive.
Yeah, I mean, Los Angeles would definitely have to be the Mike Sillinger 81 special.
They're built for the playoffs, but I just don't, again, they're playing like the Winnipeg Jets. They're not playing fantastic right now. They got, if they don't take 2 points in San Jose tonight, oof. Heads shall roll. They should pull a Red Deer Rebels with Davey Strouche with a few games left and bring in a new coach, although they're already on a new coach this year in Los Angeles. Yeah, so the West is a battle. We're going to leave the Super Draft here for the guys to take it over next week, and we'll see this fill out this sports cage team of 32. We got three down. We got Philip Forsberg from the Preds, Roman Josi, and Ryan O'Reilly. We're riding them. We're riding the Preds in the mixer. Let's go out to the Western Pizza Hotline. And it's time for our guy out on the West Coast, probably maybe a Canucks fan, not really sure. I think I've asked him about this before. It's press coverage with Glenn Suter for Quality Tire, 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. Glenn, how are things on the West Side?
Well, to answer your question quickly, I watch the Canucks. You know, I keep in touch with them just to see, you know, the crowd excitement, the crowd level of it, you know, level of excitement here in the West Coast. And I know early on in the season, they were all just planning the parade route. And I don't think there's quite the same level of confidence there now. But you know, we'll see. I really don't have a favorite team, but when my son was in Nashville, I went to a ton of Predators games because they did such a great job of marketing. And, you know, we got student tickets cause he was going to Belmont University there. And, you know, it was right across from the Honky Tonks where he would play at night, and then we'd walk across the street to go to the game. So I sort of became a Preds fan. And you know, and the other thing that they had was, which is a little unfair to the rest of the teams in the league, is that every one of the country stars live in Nashville. Well, the majority of them, let's put it that way. So they could just make a call at Tim McGraw shows and sing a couple of songs between periods when they were going. So, yeah, pretty cool. Thanks. But, hey, listen, guys, I've been it's been a tough couple of days when I think about Jim Hobson and just that he's left us and Rider Nation and all of us that knew him so well have lost just such a great inspirational person that was also a fantastic president and CEO of the team, an outstanding teacher. I know that from listening to people that he, you know, he influenced in such a positive way, and a great teammate as a player too, you know, back in the day. So a guy that grew up in Saskatchewan from top to bottom. So it's been a tough couple of days just thinking about it. I just saw Jim at an event that was at the Royal Regina Golf Club back in September. And, you know, I had a long conversation with him. And I've just been in the last 48 hours here just thinking about all his great accomplishments and how much he's inspired so many people.
Wow, you know, Maz said earlier today he kind of changed football in Saskatchewan, and there's been so much made about the stadium, and that stadium probably doesn't happen without him. And you know, the one thing, Glenn, and I was talking to Luke and then talking to Craig Reynolds off the hop, I am, yeah, and I don't know the right way to put this, but I'm really happy they honored him while he was still alive. And you know, Jim kind of, you know, he's kind of said the battle that he was up against, I equated it to, you know, when Alex Trebek came out and said, listen, I'm in a tough one here. And you know, it was a chance for people to, I guess, pay their respects before he passes, and the Riders didn't, all that. And I feel that it kind of shows the character and the kind of guy he was, because he was taking it all in stride. And he's like, you know what, this is probably one I'm not going to pull out of. But I want to make the best of the last few moments I have.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, Jim was so generous with his time. And you know, if no matter what your job description, no matter where you were in the pecking order and the ladder of success, or where you were in your career, he would spend the time to first listen, and then if you asked for advice, would give it. And you know, again, inspire through his courage. I mean, when I sat down with him in January, we were at the same table at this event at the golf club, and you know, I had heard that it was getting to a point where, you know, the treatments weren't working, and you know, the end was near, basically. And we sat and chatted, and I was just beside myself, overwhelmed by how much courage and dignity and class he had at that moment with that on his mind.
Yeah.
And this 2.5 year battle that he had been going through, to talk about the team, to talk about other people, and to keep saying things like, yesterday was a great day.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I didn't say anything out loud, but I thought to myself, really, Jim, with what you're fighting here, gee, I hope I have your courage.
Yeah.
When the end is near. I mean, the destination is there for all of us, but let's hope that we all have that same amount of courage and dignity and class when it's our time.
Yeah, I look in the guy I look across of when I look in the mirror. I don't know if I do, but no, he was unbelievable. Unbelievable guy and great words there, Glenn. On the football front, we talked to you on Tuesday about the game in Victoria this year, which I am trying to finagle some sort of way to get there. You got a nice play. You're going to work on some football camps, and you already told TSN, hey, I want to do this game, although you usually don't do this. Are they adding more tickets somehow, some way?
Yeah, that's what I just heard, the announcement yesterday, that they're going to add sort of more capacity to the stadium. So more temporary seats will be put in because the demand has just been overwhelming. So they have this huge waiting list of people wanting to get to that game, buy tickets, see the team up close and personal. You know, again, they're going to go up to Kamloops for camp again, so they get the interior there and training camp. And, you know, young kids get to go and watch practice. You know, I remember going to a practice as a kid when they would move camp around in Vancouver, and I was at high school or even before that, and seeing guys like Harry Holt and Jerry Taggy and Devon Ford and guys like that that were playing for the BC Lions at the time. And I'd be at practice looking through the gates at a high school stadium and seeing the pros and the guys out there and having a chat with Jim Young after a practice, you know, I became an instant fan. So that's what Omar Doman is doing. So they've increased capacity in Vancouver. And, you know, it's a really, I'm trying to find the right words to describe sort of where we are in the football world right now, because I just see nothing but upward trend here with the ownership groups that we have at the top levels, and then amateur football growing. And just watch when it becomes an Olympic sport, which is right around the corner.
Oh.
Flag football is going to be an Olympic sport. And you guys, I mean, you know, we all have our favorites when it comes to the Olympics. When it's the Winter Olympics, we're watching hockey first and everything else second, and everyone has their favorites, so I'm not criticizing any other sport. But, you know, I think our nation is watching hockey first all the way.
Yeah.
And watch how in the Summer Olympics, flag football becomes just a number one hit. Honestly, especially when Canada and other teams that are in the Olympics are pushing, if not beating, the American teams.
Absolutely. So I don't come across as a luge guy. You don't think I like sit back and watch a lot of luge, Glenn, or what? Come on. No. You know what? I think this flag football, I want to leave this flag football, because as a guy who coaches two teams, sometimes four teams, I love, and both my kids play. So let's catch up with flag football in a couple of weeks when I'm back. And it was great words about Jim, and always a pleasure, Glenn. And like I said, we'll catch up in a couple of weeks, and you have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Right on. Glenn Suter, and it's press coverage for Quality Tire. 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. Time for a break. You are listening to The Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The Sports Cage is your locker room pass. We're talking Riders on Saskatchewan Sports Radio, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back. Barney Schenker, Kel Nenslev here. The U18 male AAA, the women, the ladies start tomorrow, Kellen. Best of 3 in Winnipeg, Rebels and Ice. Road to the SO Cup, they call it.
Second year in a row.
Yeah. Let's hope they get
there. Same two teams last year as well in Regina. This year they're going to Winnipeg, looking to upset the apple cart, get themselves to Vernon.
And the whole province is behind the Saskatoon Blazers after they dumped the Pat Canadians. And the Blazers are in Winnipeg for the regionals. Caught up with head coach of the Blazers, Troy Walkington, earlier today.
Now joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, the head coach of the Saskatoon Blazers, U18 AAA Hockey Club. They won the province over Regina this past week, and they're off to regionals, and they're actually hitting the ice here in moments in Winnipeg. Troy Walkington, thanks so much for taking some time to hop back on the Sports Cage. Like I said, when we talked last time, I didn't really have, you know, an allegiance being a contact between the Pat C's and the Blazers. You guys prevailed in that series. Take us through that series, Troy, and you know, how everything went against the Pat C's from your lens.
Difficult series. They were two outstanding teams. You know, whenever you play 7 months and there's two teams left, both of those teams are outstanding teams. And I thought that Regina was real deep. They're a veteran group. Their defensive structure is outstanding. And it was always going to be a hard-fought series. We were fortunate enough to gain home ice advantage by being the number one seed. And we were able to get, you know, games 1 and 3 in our rink. And I thought we played extremely well in games 1 and 3. Game 2, I don't think we played very well in Regina. But our goaltender certainly stole the game for us. And ultimately, we were able to finish it in 3.
That's one thing I heard. I didn't get a chance to get boots on the ground and watch the game. But the one thing that I heard in this series is both goaltenders played extremely well.
They did. And I thought that... especially in game 2, I thought Malinovsky was outstanding. I thought Tabishnik in game 3, especially to the latter part of game 3, the game could have got out of hand a little bit. I thought we created a whole bunch of chances. And he certainly came up with some real big saves in that third period of game 3.
All right, so now let's shift and talk about the task at hand starting today in Winnipeg, the West Regionals. You out of the gate, you guys are facing a juggernaut from Brandon.
They're outstanding. I mean, when I watch video, they're a depth team. I think their top six forwards are as good as any top six forwards probably in Western Canada. Their defense, real good. They're puck moving. They're able to create offense. And their two goaltenders, both guys throughout the year have been outstanding. So, I think we match up pretty well against them. I think that we have outstanding depth. They've got real good depth. They've got some outstanding offensive guys. So do we. And I think back ends are virtually the same. And from a goaltending point of view, I think everything is real close. It should be a real good game.
What do you know about the rest? You know, the other two teams, Thunder Bay and Winnipeg, Troy.
All I know is what I watch on video. I'm able to get some video on T-Bay, and I don't have much. I probably only have no recent games. I'm able to watch them in February playing in the GTHL. Now, we played the Toronto Junior Canadians last year at Nationals, so I have a general understanding of how good that league is. And so I'm able to watch those guys play a little bit. And they don't have a big squad. I think they've only got like 15 guys or 16 players, but the players they have, they play hard, and their top end guys. I mean, their top end guys. I take them on our team. So I mean, they're a good team as well. I think whenever you get champions that are playing in the same tournament, there are no gimme games, and this certainly there's no gimmies here. I think T-Bay is good. Winnipeg finished third in their league, and they made it to the league final. So. Watching video on Winnipeg, I think they're deep. I think they move the puck pretty well. Power play is real good. So again, anything can happen on any given day.
Talking with Troy Walkington, head coach of the Saskatoon Blazers, that are hitting the ice right away here at regionals in the U18 AAA West Regional Championship in Winnipeg. Hey, talking about leagues, is there a lot of difference, or do you notice a difference when you're watching tape or you're playing against some of these teams from Manitoba and then into Ontario? Is the Sask League a little bit different?
I think the Saskatchewan team from top to bottom, I think that it's probably one of the most competitive leagues in the country. I think that the difference between team 1 and team 12 in our league, certainly, it's not as big as what, you know, maybe people think that it is compared to when you watch some other leagues. In our league, I don't think you can take a night off because anybody can beat anybody on a given night. And I think it's an older league. I think our league has, you know, have lots of 17-year-olds in it, and they play hard, and it's a tough league to play in. So I certainly see a difference between the top teams and the bottom teams in some other leagues for sure.
How many guys from your squad went through this last year, went through regionals? You guys went to nationals, you won bronze. How many returnees this year, Troy?
We have 7 players that are returning. Plus at nationals last year, we had some injuries. Luke Dolan was injured. Corbin Allman was injured. So, I mean, we were missing 2 pretty good forwards from a national point of view going towards nationals. So Christian LaSalle did play at nationals for us. So he would be the 8th guy off that team.
Right on. All right. Well, the whole province is behind you now, right? You're our reps. So get it done. Like I said, you're on the ice here right away against Brandon. And again, thanks so much for taking some time today, Troy.
Thanks for having me.
Troy Walkington, the Saskatoon Blazers. Wow, what a jam-packed show, Kellen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a little bit of everything. Craig Reynolds, Connor Geeky from the Swift Current Broncos. We had Big G even come on from Saskatoon talking about the Blades game. Arash Madani's at the Final Four. Lance Wakefield talking about golf courses. Nick Schultz from Strasburg, Saskatchewan, and currently developmental coach with the Philadelphia Flyers on the Flyers' chances of making the postseason. Glenn Suter and then Troy Walkington. You can catch it all and the podcast form if you missed any of it. And we picked 3 Nashville Predators for our Keniston Super Draft.
Yeah, next to the city of Nashville, I don't think there's any radio station in North America talking about the Predators as much as we have over the last month. So it only seemed fair to ride the Preds in the Music City.
We will look very smart when it's all said and done. I'm gone for 2 weeks. When I get back, who knows what's up. Thanks so much, Kellen, for coming in, hopping on. You're on your way to Moose Jaw. Big game.
Yeah, 2011 Spring Buffaloes kicking off the epic ice melt, following the path of your son, the Titans, earlier today, picking up the big W.
It was always the Silver Buffaloes. That's it. That's the Sports Cage for this Thursday. Talk to you soon, Saskatchewan.
Today's Sports Cage has come to a close. Miss a segment? Download or stream the podcast now at sportscage.ca. Get your sports straight from the source. 620 CKRM.